So you all have heard the old saying, you can't go home again, right? Well, why not? It always makes me wonder. Why can't you go home again? As I thought about it, I think that this saying implies that over time, things change. We change. And once what once was home may not feel like home anymore. So then that got me to wondering, well, then what is home? Is it the house where you grew up? Is it where you live now? What makes a house or an apartment or a trailer a home? I used to think I knew the answer to that. I just knew when I was younger that once we owned our own place, somewhere that we could put down roots, then we would be home. For the first 10 years of our marriage, we rented apartments, houses, trailer house, and they were where we lived, but it never really felt like home. And then we bought our fixer-upper that I told you about a few weeks ago. We worked on that house for almost a year before we moved in. By the time we had moved in, every inch of that place we had touched, cleaned, fixed somehow. Nothing was as it had been before. It was ours, and we had poured our blood, sweat, and tears into that place. We had picked out paint colors, light fixtures, cabinets, siding, carpet, every single finish inside and out. And in the process, we had moved walls, ceilings, and stairways. We moved into that house, I don't know, it was a week or two before Logan's first birthday. So we had double reason to celebrate that August. And many of the friends and family members that had worked alongside of us getting the house ready came over for Logan's birthday to see the house, to celebrate with us, and to welcome us home. And for 11 years, I thought of that house as home. Selling and leaving that house was really, really tough. But going into the ministry, being willing to live where the bishop called me to serve, living in houses that were owned by the church, boy, that forced me to take a long, hard look at what home really meant. That house that we had poured so much of ourselves into turns out wasn't really home. The parsonage that we lived in Arlington was not home. The beautiful house that we get to live in here in Miller isn't home. Because home is more than an address. It's more than a place where you reside. Home is where you are fully known, both the good and the bad. It's the place where you are loved and cherished and needed. Home is where you feel safe and protected. Home is where the tears can flow as freely and easily as does the laughter, because you don't need to hide what is going on inside of you. Now, when we encounter Nehemiah in the story today, the wall's complete. The task he set out to do is done. He has come a long, long way from the court of the king, where Nehemiah's heart broke at the news of the devastation of Jerusalem. Nehemiah wept and mourned. He sought and received permission from the king to get resources to rebuild the wall around the city. He traveled to Jerusalem, did late-night exploration of the damages, and finally spilled out his dreams to other people to include them in the calling that God had put on him. He had seen the good days and the days that brought mocking and threats of violence. But through it all, Nehemiah held fast to the promises of God, and God saw them all through. And now the renovation is complete. But Nehemiah looked around the city, and he saw all the empty houses. And he realized, was reminded, that there were thousands of his fellow Jews still living in exile, far away from home. Now, he didn't undergo this whole journey, this whole process, just so he could enjoy Jerusalem for himself. He had understood that for the Jewish people, Jerusalem was familiar. It was where they felt the most like themselves, where they could worship according to their own laws and customs, where they believed God dwelled with them, where God protected them and cared for them, where the people of God, the family of God, could be together. Sounds an awful lot like home, doesn't it? So in today's reading, Nehemiah decides to open the city gates, to call the people to come back home again. He decides to share the work of his renovation with others, and almost 50,000 people come home. We've been on quite the process with Nehemiah these few weeks. Hopefully, we've been working on a spiritual renovation ourselves. Some of us have had our hearts broken as we thought of the destruction in our own lives that have separated us from God. Some of us have been trying to break down the barriers that we have erected over time that hinder our growth as disciples. We have been trying to listen for the truth and drown out the lies that keep us stuck. And today we need to determine what is home for our souls. The importance and the significance of Jerusalem for the Jews was that the city was the dwelling place of God and where the people were under the protection and the care of God. Well, we are the children of God. We are lovingly created by the hands, the mind, and the heart of God. And we will never be complete. We can never be whole without living in relationship with God. If God is not dwelling with us and in us, we will never truly be home. And you know, we try to do these renovations all the time, all on our own. There's lots of different ways that we do this, just a few. We diet, we exercise, we read all the self-help books, or we get life coaches or therapists, or just watch Oprah or Dr. Phil. We try to do whatever it takes without God. And we'll never be home. We try to do it without God because God asks us the hard questions. God asks us to do things. God says, repent of your sin. And we go, yeah, but there's one or two I kind of like. God says, love your neighbor as yourself. And we say, okay, as long as I get to pick my neighbor. As long as I don't have to call those who disagree with me politically, those in hostile countries, those who need help, those of other races, other religions, other creeds, those people aren't my neighbor. God says, take up your cross and follow me. But we say, you know, I really like to be safe and comfortable. God says, give to those in need. And we say, yeah, but I got to save for a rainy day. God says, I am the Lord your God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And yet we worship at the altar of wealth, of status, of celebrity, of power, of comfort, of reputation, and we refuse to bow before our Creator. And as long as we continue down that road, we won't ever get home. If that's the road you are on, then you won't go home again. Not going that way. If you want to live a life where you are fully known and fully loved, if you want to dwell in such a way that peace is the order of the day, if you want the acceptance, the comfort, and the freedom of home, then you need to let God in. You need to let God be the ruler of your heart, of your mind, and of your life. You cannot do it on your own. None of us can. Only the one who knit you together can make of your soul a home. And so I ask today, do you want to go home? Do you want to find a home like you've never known? Where there is a love deeper than you could ever imagine and a peace more serene than you knew was possible? Then you need to invite God to begin a spiritual renovation in you today. You need to submit yourself, your life, your heart, your soul, and your mind to God. Because it is the only way you truly can go home again. And just as Nehemiah recruited others to help him in his work, we, your family of faith, are here to help you however we can. As God begins that renovation within you. And just as others came to celebrate when the wall was complete, we will celebrate with you the great work that God is doing in you and through you and through your spiritual renovation. God is calling you home, and you can go home again to a home that is better and more perfect than you have ever known. All thanks be to God. Amen.